On this edition of Oski Talk, we break down the Illini's 45-7 loss against Wisconsin and talk about Graham Mertz testing positive for COVID-19 and what that could mean for Illinois and the rest of the Big Ten. Let's go.
This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up.
16 pressure comes, and Matt Orbebe with the ball in the air, makes the catch! Yes.
That breaks,
does it!
Oh.
Illinois, moving on to Minneapolis!
Sumu, trying to create space,
oh. Get the shot! Oh,
hello, everybody, and welcome into another edition of Oski Talk. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone. Always great to talk to you, Pat. We've got a football game to discuss, but boy, it was not a good one.
No, that was a bummer. Hard to watch. Can't wait to talk about it, Anthony.
Yeah, well, let's get right into it on the front page. First and foremost here on the front page, Illinois is now 0-1. Thanks to a Wisconsin Badgers 45-7 win on Friday night. It was not pretty for the Illini, but hey, at least we got a football game to talk about.
Yeah, that is true. I wish it wasn't this football game that we had got to talk about, but we got hit with a little bit of a reality check. I think when we don't, the circumstances of this season are that we didn't get to see practice. We didn't really get to know this team very well. And I think that kind of created a lot of false confidence from Illini fans and the media, because on paper, this team looks so much better than last year. But if you base it off this first game, they took a step back.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say Wisconsin got their revenge from last year's October victory that Illinois had. This game was really not close at all. Final score, like we said, 45-7. The Illini offense did not put up any points. The only touchdown was on a defensive touchdown, a little bit of Lovie Ball. But, you know, they talked about their goal being three takeaways a game. All they had was one, and the rest of the game, not good.
Not good at all. It, you know, on the offensive side, you start off the game with the fumble. That was a huge bummer. And I think that took the momentum out of the team a little bit, a lot of it. And then when they got back-to-back bad calls in those first half with the Wisconsin spot and then the Illinois spot, I just think you suck all the momentum out of this game and you just get raw Illinois. Like, this team needs momentum. It needs charisma for it to be successful. And I think they got that last year. Big turnovers, you know, plays that excited the team, a fan base that was kind of ready for a good team, really helped this team quite a bit. I mean, you think of games like the Wisconsin games, crucial turnovers, keeping it close, and then, you know, making a couple plays and then winning that game. Michigan State, one play, two play, three plays go right. This team gains momentum, and they upset Michigan State at Michigan State. When all that momentum was sucked out of the team, and, you know, it repeatedly happened up until the third quarter, we just looked bad. And you could blame Lovie for his defense all you want, but, I mean, we play cover two, and you could blame, like, the wide-open receivers in the middle for the cover two, but really, we didn't play cover two that much where I felt like we were getting burned. It was just the technique. Like, the safeties were bad this game. Derek Smith and Sidney Brown, they were not good.
Yeah, and, you know, they talk about college football being a sport where not only do you have to build up momentum during the game, but you have to build up momentum as a program, you know, making a bowl game, winning six games last year, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of good momentum. But I don't know if you realize this, but dating back to last year, Illinois is on a 4-game losing streak now. They really haven't looked good since that Michigan State bowl game clincher. Iowa beat them. Northwestern destroyed them. They were hurt in the Red Box Bowl, and then this opening game against Wisconsin, they got to turn the ship quick.
Yeah, and they have time to turn the ship quick.
They do.
Look, this is the first game of the year, first time that a lot of these guys have hit players, actually made tackles.
In a long time.
Brandon Peters. Yeah, Brandon Peters sees a difficult defense, and you face a number 9 now, Wisconsin. So, like, you know, it's a bummer. I think a lot of Illini fans saw it, you know, us winning this game. But if when you look into the future and you see a Purdue game, I think that'll be a much better tell where actually Illinois stands, instead of this, you know, the idea of Illinois that we had in our heads going in the season. So next week's a better test. But, you know, going back to this game, if we could start with Brandon Peters, he just never found a role and didn't get any help.
Yeah, I think that it's a two-tail thing. Did he not find a role because he wasn't getting any help, or did that just add to him not finding his rhythm at all? But fact of the matter is, he only outgained his own self on the ground by 12 yards. He finished the game with 87 yards passing, 75 yards rushing, and as the optimist that I am, I think his rushing is something that Illinois can look to expand on, because he did look good. He was making the right reads on those plays and gashing the Wisconsin defense. That was the only positive plays that Illinois was able to consistently put together were Peters' runs. But aside from that, he was 8 of 19 passing, only 87 yards total. He looked Josh Amater-Bebe's way a lot. He only caught three passes. I think they targeted him 12 or 13 times, maybe 11, something like that. But he only caught three of them. Balls were flying off of his hands. Casey Washington had a big drop. There was one play along the sideline, catch made, but the receiver didn't establish possession. I can't remember who that was. It might have been Daniel Barker, but they really weren't getting any help. Wisconsin was getting pressure on Illinois. The offensive line wasn't really setting the edge. And as a result, Peter's stat line looked miserable, and he didn't play that good of a game.
No, he didn't. And I felt like there were times, too, where he couldn't find his receiver quick enough. The offensive line almost like just wasn't helping him enough, and with no help from the run game, it didn't look right. And then you put Isaiah Williams in there, and I think Peters gets a little bit pissed about that, you know, just going to him right away. I mean, Isaiah threw an interception too, so it's just like that just added insult to injury. It was just all around a terrible game for the Illini offense. Nothing really worked. The tight ends, I mean, we could talk about the tight ends for a while here, did not get enough use. And I will say this in terms of, because a lot of people are wondering why Luke Ford didn't play. Luke Ford might not be the best tight end on this team. I mean, no tight end got a reception, which is ridiculous, or Daniel Barker got two. But I honestly think Daniel Barker might be the best tight end on this team, and Amater-Bebe being the second one, and then Ford being the third. So Ford might not get that much playing time, but I mean, and you hear like people tweet on Twitter saying, "Hey, like Luke Ford should transfer again. Like, what? Why is he spending his time here at Illinois?" I mean, Peters completed 8 passes. Like, even if he was on the field, he wouldn't have gotten a reception. No one was getting receptions. The offense was terrible all around. There was nothing working. So, like, you could be mad that Luke Ford didn't see the field, but what the hell was Luke Ford going to do?
Yeah, but we could go on and on about the offense, but before we get into that a little bit more, I want to go back to the point you made about Peters and Williams. Williams came in on, I think, 3 or 4 separate drives. He had one drive to himself entirely. He had one drive where he ran a first, a second, and a third down play, and then Peters came in to go for it on fourth. I understand trying to get Williams involved. He's got a lot of potential. He could do a lot for your team. He's lightning quick. But in a game where your quarterback hasn't found a rhythm, you can't keep delaying him finding that rhythm, in my opinion. I think they went to Williams too early. It's similar to me when you look at, and I talked about this a little last year too, with the Saints and Drew Brees and Taysom Hill. I think you could bring Taysom Hill in once Brees is settled down and Brees is completing passes, but until then, you don't want to throw that QB out of that rhythm until he finds it, at least.
No, I completely agree. You can't really put Isaiah Williams in until Peters is completing good passes, making good reads, and then you throw in Isaiah Williams to kind of shake it up a little bit and give the defense a different look. And maybe get an explosive play, which is what the Saints do. But with Peters, I mean, he was looking, it basically seemed like they were benching him, which is basically what they were doing. They wanted to see what Isaiah Williams could bring, and it was just the wrong time to do that. You just can't do that when you're getting absolutely dubbed on by Wisconsin.
Yeah, and then to add insult to injury, too, once the game was out of hand, it wasn't Williams who came in. It was Matt Robinson who came into the game for a few downs. So the quarterback play, obviously suspect. Brandon Peters is the starter going forward, and you can look to see some more of Isaiah Williams. Lovie Smith said post-game they had some packages, and it being the first game of the year, you want to see what you have. Isaiah Williams didn't really show much. He had one nice carry for 5 yards, but it was on like second and 20. He had a few read options that led to some positive yards for Epstein on the ground, but like you said, three incomplete passes, one an interception, one a skip to a wide open Amater Bebe. So I doubt we'll be seeing him as much against Purdue. I expect a heavy dose of Peters. But on that topic, both you and I discussed how Rod Smith needs to change his play calling for this offense specifically. They're not going to be a run strong team. They got a lot of weapons through the air, so maybe gear the play calling toward that. I thought it was a very poorly called football game on Smith's part.
Yeah, I like we said, we want to see a little bit more running. I believe it was 19-24 in terms of pass run, 19 pass attempts. Or no, it was 22-22. Yeah, it was even. So it was 22-22 pass attempts to run attempts. But three of those passes come from Isaiah Williams. 19 come from Brandon Peters. I don't love it. 22-24 is pretty close to even, but it's not what you wanted. I thought we should have done what I said at the beginning of the year, 60-30 or 60-40 pass run. We got to throw the ball more. You got to be able to throw the ball on third down and first down way better. Like you said, there were just drops. That one Amater Bebe drop on, I believe, the second drive was I felt crucial. It just didn't look good, man. The play calling was weak. And look, it's against a good Wisconsin team. This is your first look. Like I said, we'll learn more about this offense next week against Purdue, with a better defense or maybe an equal defense on Purdue and a little bit worse offense. So it'll be interesting, but time will tell. We got to give it a couple more games, and it's a bummer. There's only 8 more games in the season, so it's not a lot of time to right the ship per se. But we'll give it time. It's much worse. People forget we lost to Eastern Michigan last year. Like, that completely escapes people's mind how bad or how low Illinois Phantom could get. 45-7, where we just didn't look good against Wisconsin, is not the end of the world.
Yeah, it's not. There's a ton of room for improvement, obviously. I think the Peters-Bebe connection will obviously grow. I don't expect that sloppy play from quarterback all year long. And granted, like you said, it's against a really tough Wisconsin team and Wisconsin defense as well. I think the run game's going to be key in the future if you could get it going. It looked like Epstein was the most explosive guy, but he also coughed up the ball on the second play of the game. So gauging that running back committee is going to be big. But to me, there's three glaring statistics that tell the story of this game. First of all, on third down, Illinois was 2 of 10 in the entire game. Just 2 times they converted on third down. They tried to go for it on fourth down 3 times. They were 0-for-3. And the time of possession was 43 minutes for Wisconsin, just 16 for Illinois.
Yeah, that is what happened. I mean, it was a bad game. We'll learn more against, Purdue. This is just the first game. You can't really tell a whole lot when you're playing the Big Ten right away in the middle of October, at the end of October. Like, this is a weird season, too. We need to give the Illini a little bit of a break. We need to give Lovie Smith a little bit of a break. We'll learn more next week. But on that note, I would like to talk a little bit about this defense.
Yeah, and we'll start with the biggest thing. Captain Jake Hansen went down with a pretty nasty-looking injury. Our guess is some type of head injury, concussion-type thing, because he was stumbling, couldn't stand straight, and they took him out of the game, and he did not return. That came late in the first quarter on Wisconsin's 4th-and-1 attempt, which I don't think they got the first down, but that's neither here nor there. Aside from that, defense forced one fumble, returned it for a touchdown. That was Tariq Barnes doing all the work on that one. He also had 11 total tackles, 7 on his own, and a sack. So, I mean, he was the big bright spot. Aside from that, not too much bright spots on the defense. I thought secondary was especially bad.
It was especially bad. I actually thought that was the worst part. Roger Perry, excited about him. I think he could be really good for this defense. missing Isaiah Gay was huge. Missing Eifler at the first half. We forgot to talk about that. I feel like last week that he wasn't even going to start. Bummer. He'll be back. He'll be ready. Isaiah Gay will be back and ready. Defense will look better, but the secondary is bad. And you could blame like Lovey all you want for playing the cover two, but the techniques played by the safeties were awful. They were playing terrible. I mean, they did not look ready. They weren't covering the slot receiver very well when it was getting passed off by the linebacker, which is, I think, the right, you know, if a linebacker's playing zone on the slot receiver, like, he's got to give that up, and the safeties have to be there. They weren't. That's just straight up, they were not there. I think if you're Lovie Smith, you look back at the tape, Tony Adams makes the move back to safety. Start Quez Beeson at corner with Hobbs, and you go Quan Martin if you play dime packages or anything where you need another corner. And hopefully Devin Witherspoon is back next week too. That was a pretty big loss for us as well. So once that corner depth that we talked about last year comes kind of back a little bit more, you feel a little bit better about moving Tony Adams back to the safety position, which I after watching this game, definitely think we need him there.
Yeah, the defense did force two sacks. But for me, when I look at statistics from a defensive point of view, there's one thing that I look for to tell kind of like if your defense had a good game, and it's how many tackles did your secondary have to make. And if that's a lot, you probably didn't have that good of a game because they were in the second, third wave of your defense often. Nate Hobbs had 9 tackles, Sidney Brown had 9 tackles, and Tony Adams had 6. That's too much. That Wisconsin offense was in the second level of Illinois defense all game long.
Yeah, Derek Smith had 5. So that goes to tell you a little bit about that. Yeah, it wasn't good. And, you know, throw Kirby Joseph in that mix too. I'll throw him under the bus as well. it just was bad. It just looked bad. First game of the year. These guys aren't bad players. They're not. We know that. We know they're not bad players. They came here to play. We've seen them for a long time. They just played bad this week. The first week again against Wisconsin. We can't get too mad. But if there was one part that I really thought was bad, it was the secondary. I thought the linebackers did a pretty all right job. You could basically play linebacker by committee this year just because there's so much depth. Yeah. Now Tariq Barnes was very good. As well as obviously Eifler. Hansen was good until he was out. Tolson looks pretty good as well. I actually liked him a lot. He and Perry were credited with the sack. So that was good. Mark was good too. It was all right. They were all right. I thought the line played all right. They'll be better with Gay. It was just the secondary. It really blew up.
Yeah, and like you said, secondary got gashed. A few huge plays up the middle for touchdowns. One of them, I think, 53 yards. But the defensive line and the linebackers were not that bad. You usually judge that based on how good the other team's running game was. And we were pretty much stopping them in terms of running the ball all the way up until the fourth quarter when the game was out of hand, and then they really started gashing us for big plays with Groshek and Watson. But early on, our run defense was solid, I would say. But the pass defense is really what lacked. But let's give credit where credit is due here. Wisconsin quarterback Graham Mertz, first career start, redshirt freshman. You talked about him being more highly touted than Jack Cohn is. He was 20 of 21, 248 yards, 5 touchdowns. In the first half, 14 of 14, 4 touchdowns. That dude lit it up.
No, he was good. He was excellent. Yeah, how much of that is the Illini secondary playing bad? And how much is it him being talented? It's probably 50-50. You know, he'll be good. He'll probably be a 60% completion kind of guy with 200 yards a game and probably 2 touchdowns. But against us, he went 20 for 21, 250 yards with 5 touchdowns. So, you know, it makes you think. I mean, we gave him great field position too at times. So it was, mm-hmm. You know, he was good. That's all I'm going to say about him. I don't want to hype him up too much.
Yeah, and I mean, on the topic of him, the bigger storyline is that reports are out from Wisconsin that Graham Mertz has tested positive for COVID-19. That could mean a number of things. We don't want to speculate too much. There's a possibility he had COVID when he was playing against Illinois. There's a possibility he contracted it after the game. But nonetheless, if that is true, I think Mertz will have to sit out 21 days. So that puts Wisconsin's quarterback room in a bit of a frenzy without Cohn still. And that could also mean Illinois players will have to test, potentially quarantine, and maybe miss some time as well. So obviously a scary situation. We hope the health of Mertz is back in order soon, and anybody else involved is getting healthy. I guess we hope it's not a true report.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is. False positives really don't happen very often, so it probably is true. You really hope for Graham Mertz. Hope he returns safe and, you know, can get through this quarantine safely. In terms of the Illini, it's very scary to play against a quarterback that now has COVID. The team's probably a little bit nervous, so thoughts go to them as well. It's a tough call. Honestly, Illini definitely have to test. We have good testing here, so we'll see kind of what the results are. It sucks that it happened so soon, I guess. They all got tested before the game. So
yeah, right.
He must have been negative. You can't
play without a negative test.
Right. He must have been negative. And then this is where it gets shaky. Sometime got contracted it Sunday or Saturday and then tested positive Sunday. Or maybe he did catch it on Friday. That's a possibility. Friday didn't show up and then it did show up, which would be the scariest possibility. It's a scary situation for the Illini, a scary situation for Wisconsin as well. And I guess all you can do right now is just hope for the best.
Yeah, we will certainly monitor that situation. And we'll also hear from Lovie Smith and some players tomorrow during the weekly press conference. And we'll get you guys all of that information on our next episode. But before we let you guys all go, we're going to do our Illini of the Week. And since nobody was that great on the field, we want to give it to somebody who watched the game and was tweeting it very interestingly. Arguably the best running back Illinois had yesterday, or Friday, I should say, Reggie Corbin.
Yeah, Reggie Corbin had some interesting tweets. Just wanted to highlight him before we actually get to the Illini of the Week. He actually said that Wisconsin knew our signals and that they were blitzing whenever we were running the play action. And it was the same blitz every single time. So, just saying, man, maybe Reggie Corbin has a future in coaching.
Yeah, and I don't know if that is a result of Rod Smith being upstairs and having to relay the signals through two people instead of straight to Brandon or whatever that could be a tribute of. Maybe it has something to do with no fans. You can hear them talking. Like, I mean, it sounds super simple, but, I mean, you never know.
You might be right out there. You never know.
Illinois will definitely try to keep an eye on that, fix the offense for next week. But the real Illini of the Week, got to give it to Tariq Barnes. If you're looking around this team, he was really the only one who had a game that you would say was a good game. Like we said, 11 total tackles, a sack, had that fumble forced and returned for a touchdown. Definitely a big help once Hansen went out.
Yeah, you know, he was a guy we didn't really expect to see just because he was going to be behind Hansen, obviously, and then Hansen gets injured, he plays, and he's a guy of the future, really. It's going to be Tolson, him, and Shimon next year, so these are good things to see from your linebackers of the future, and I'm glad he got some playing time and played well. It's exciting to see.
Yeah, hopefully he can keep that up and the Illini can get back on track next week against Purdue. But for now, that'll do it for this edition of Oski Talk. We thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you guys again on Thursday. But for now, ILL.
I and I.